Yeah, around Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis.
This is you.
Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Yeah, the first Daf. Rabbi Reishel has Yahrzeit tonight for his mother. We dedicate the learning Lezecha Nishmas Ha'isha Doba Leia Bas Rab Chaim Yitzchok. I think we left off by the Mishnah. Right before the Mishnah, the Gemara said Achidush Din, that in Hilcha Shabbos we have a din only Kli Rishon is Mevashel. Let's say I have a pot of a kettle of burning hot water, or I have a pot of burning hot soup. And even if I take it off of the fire and I'll put a raw egg into the pot of burning hot soup, the raw egg will get cooked. So that's bishul b'kli rishon is bishul. What if I pour the water from the burning hot pot of soup or the burning hot kettle of water, I'll pour it into a kli sheni, and then I'll put in the egg and I'll succeed in cooking and making a hard-boiled egg, soft-boiled egg. But that's a din kli sheni ena mevashel, even though it accomplishes the result, because it's not normal, because since you can't really expect it 100% that it's going to work, because once you pour the water into a kli sheni, it's on its way to cool off. So therefore, there's no bishul b'kli sheni in Hilchos Shabbos, because it's not the normal way of cooking. So one might have thought that didn't make sense in Hilchos Shabbos, because if you do a malacha, kalacha yad, the Mishnah says that if a person is a writer and he writes on Shabbos, writing is one of the 39 malachs. So if a person is a writer and he writes with the left hand, so it's going to be sloppy, it's not going to be normal. So HaKosev B'Smol is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, because the malacha was done kalacha yad, and it's a lack of malachas marshevis. Or if you do any malacha, kalacha yad. If you do any malacha, if you're carrying your left hand, that's the same as carrying the right hand. But if you do some other malacha, let's say you dial a telephone number with your knuckles or something, or you do a malacha in an abnormal way. So if you're lacking malachas marshevis, it lowers it down to a level of a malacha D'Rabbanon. So,
if you take out the boiled, the egg, boiled already, you put this in a cold water, this makes the cold water makes it to peel the egg shell.
Easier to peel it, okay. So chachmah, okay. The secrets. So one might have thought that this din, that there's no bishul b'kli sheni, is only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. Why should it apply to basim b'chalav? So the Gemara says no. The din is the same in basim b'chalav. There's no bishul b'kli sheni. It's a universal din in Hilchos Bishul and Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara applies it also in Psochim. There's a special prohibition regarding Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be broiled. The pasuk says you have to eat it sliyesh, you have to eat it dafke broil. So if you have boshal mevushal bamayim, if you cook the korban pesach, then you eat it. You roiv on a lav. So the Gemara says the same over there. If you cook it in a kli sheni, it doesn't count. That's also not Hilchos Shabbos. There's no din of kalacha yad. There's no din of malachas machshevis. But that's a din in Hilchos Bishul and Kol HaTorah Kula. The bishul b'kli sheni doesn't count. It's only bishul b'kli mishul. The next mishnah really contradicts the first Mishnah. It's a machlekes hatanaim. The first Mishnah said, we started the perikuv gimel on base. So the first line says, kol abos also levasha b'cholov chutz mi besadogim v'chagovim. You're not allowed to cook any flesh with milk, except for fish you're allowed to cook with milk, and grasshoppers. There are kosher grasshoppers, there are non-kosher grasshoppers. So kosher grasshoppers are permissible to, you're allowed to eat it, even if you cook it with milk. So the Mishnah sounds kol abos also levashel, even chicken is also levashel, and even deer's meat. Even that's what we learned in the Gemara, even oif and even chayah. The next line says vayta also lahalasim agvina al shulchan. You're not allowed to have two people eating. One is eating flesh, one is eating milchiks on the same table, unless you have a heker. There's a different tablecloth or a different placemat or a different put something. Flower pot in between or something. What's mutter? Chutz mipsadog mechagov. One person is having milchiks, one person is having fish, so that's permissible. You're allowed to have the fish with the milk, or you're allowed to have the grasshoppers with the milk. So if one person is eating grasshoppers, not eating milk, we're permitted to eat on the same table. But you're not allowed it's clear from the Mishnah, Osel halas ala shulchan, if one is eating chicken and one is eating milk, they're not allowed to eat on the same table because we're afraid that one is eating milk is going to nibble some of the chicken. If they're friendly with each other, they don't know each other, so then it's permissible, only if they're friendly. So now the Mishnah says that that's a machlokes hatanoim. The Mishnah Kuf Dalet Amud Beis says that we learned in the opening Mishnah that Osel lahalas and magvina al shulchan, if two friends are eating at the same time, one is eating chicken, one is eating milk, it's not permissible. That's what we paskin because that's Beis Hillel's opinion. Beishamai was mekel ha'oif oile imagvina al shulchan vein anechal. Beishamai say you're not allowed to eat chicken together with cheese, chicken together with milk. But since chicken with milk is only the Rabbanan, that's obviously what they think. So you don't make a gzera l'gzera. So if one fellow is eating chicken, one fellow is eating milk, you don't make a gzera. Because even if he will nibble from the chicken, the worst that it's going to be is only an isa de Rabbanan. So that's a gzera l'gzera. So b'shama yamekel hoy feiloi magbin ala shulchan. B'silul aymim not so. B'silul say like it says in the opening Mishnah. First Mishnah is like b'silul. Lo oyla v'lo nechal. You're not allowed to eat. Not allowed to eat chicken with milk. That's against Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Aglili was a Tana who lived in the generation when they were deciding these dinim. Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, not only is there no biblical prohibition against having chicken with milk, it's even mutter mid Rabbanan. No one's going to confuse flesh with chicken. They're two different things. Everybody knows a different texture, different flavor. Everything is a different kind of an animal. So the Gemara says, "B'mekol Moshe Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he was the Mardasra in his community. They followed his shita. The din is that you have to follow Acharab and Lahatos. The rest of Klal Yisrael have to follow the majority opinion. But if I live in I daven in the shul, and my local Orthodox rabbi says this is the din, if he's a knowledgeable rabbi, if he doesn't know what he's talking about, a different thing. Rabbi Yosef Aglili was a knowledgeable rabbi. He was entitled to his opinion. So he disagreed with the other Tanaim. The other Tanaim were the ones who invented." This in the Issa de Rabban. Some of the Tanoim held that chicken and milk is an Issa de Reis. And others held there's no Issa de Reis, but it does make sense to make a Gzera de Rabban. Rabbi Yosef Lili held there's no Issa de Reis, and it doesn't even make sense to make an Issa de Rabban. So his Balabatim were allowed to follow, they were allowed to, and they were obligated to follow his Shita. That was his opinion. So the Gemara said, B'mekal Moshe Rabbi Yosef Lili, even years after he passed away, they used to eat chicken. Thank you very much. They used to eat the chicken cooked with the milk, and then there was no problem of basa b'chalav, not the rice and not the rabbana. There wasn't any problem. So the silul don't agree with Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Bishama also don't agree. They both say ein anechal. You're not allowed to eat chicken with milk. They both hold against Rabbi Yosef Aglili, but Bishama hold it's chicken and milk is only the rabbana, so it would be a gzera l'gzera to make a gzera osa l'halas ala shulchan. And Bishama say no, there is a gzera there. Loy oyla v'loy nechal. They say you're not allowed to eat the chicken with the milk, and you're not allowed to have two people eat that on the table at the same time. Is it because they have Beis Hillel hold that chicken and milk is their isa? Is it because they hold that it's their isa? Or no, they agree it's only their abonah, but it's not called the gzeir el gzeir. So that's, we'll have to get to that. We'll have to discuss it in a few minutes. So the Mishnah quotes that this is a machlik is Bishamai Beis Hillel. Bishamai is the mekel. Usually, whenever there's so many machlokes in Bishamai Beis Hillel, usually Bishamai is the machma, Beis Hillel is the mekel. So Rabbi Yosi makes that comment. Amar Rabbi Yosi zumi kula Bishamai u'michurim Beis Hillel. This is an unusual exception to the rule. This is one of the few cases where the Bishamai is mekel and Beis Hillel is machma. The Gemara is going to ask, what did Rabbi Yosi discover over here? That's what the Tanakhama said. What's the great? The Gemara asks right away, Rabbi Yosi, Haina Tanakhama, is saying the same as the Tanakhama. He's just pointing it out that Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmer. Maybe there are two versions of what Beis Shammai said. The Tanakhama quoted Beis Shammai as saying, Oyla ala shulchan ve'ein anechal. You're not allowed to eat chicken with milk, but there's no gzera de rabbanan to have two people eating. And maybe when Rabbi Yosi says, Umi kula Beis Shammai, means Beis Shammai yamekel all the way. Beis Shammai hold like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that you're allowed to even eat the chicken with the milk. So that's what Gemara says. V'chitema, maybe there are two different versions of what Beis Shammai said. Achilu gufi ikim ben ayu, kama tanakama bahalo, kama ifligi machilu loy pligi. Tanakhama says the only machlekes b'sham and b'silel is if you have a lot of have two people eating on the same table, one is eating chicken, one is eating milchiks. But to eat the chicken with the milk together, they both b'sham and b'silel say in adlata. But omalei Rabbi Yosi comes along and he says, wrong, this is mikulei b'sham is mekel all the way. B'sham hold like Rabbi Yosi, really, that it's even permissible to eat the chicken with the milk together. Omalei Rabbi Yosi achilu gufo, even eating is also permissible, and we call the b'sham echum mesil. Gemara says that's not true. That's not true. V'hatanan, we have a Mishnah in Adius. Mishnah in Adius has a whole parak. It lists off all of the cases where there's a machlek is b'sham and b'sil. So then it says, Rabbi Yosi claims that there are an additional six cases where there's a machlekes b'sham and b'sil, where the b'sham are the mekel and b'sil are the machma. Tanakama gave a whole list of cases, and Rabbi Yosi Omer, shishadvar means an additional six cases, amikula b'sham and b'sil, v'zu achas mehem, and this is one of the six additional cases, namely, oif oile magvina ala shulchan vein anechal deri b'shamai. Rabbi Yosi said the exact same thing as the Tanakama, that b'shamai don't agree with Rabbi Yosi Gli. B'shamai hold chicken with milk is awesome with the Rabbanon, but you just don't make a gzeir of halah. You're allowed to have him eat chicken and I'm eating milk. The worst that can happen is I'll have chicken and milk. That's gzeir l'gzeir. So Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah in Adia says exactly what the Tanakhama said, exactly the same. So that's what the Gemara says. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yosi and the Tanakhama? Just making a comment. I'm Rabbi Yosi. It's obvious from the Tanakhama that's the case. B'shama is mekel. Elazak the Gemara, Hakamash Malon, the Mishnah is just recording historically that what the Tanakhama said is Rabbi Yosi's version of the story. Because the other Tanoim there in Adius list off several cases where there's a machlekes b'shama misil, b'shama is the mekel, misil is the machman, this is not one of the cases. And Rabbi Yosi added on an additional six cases, and this is one of them. So Hakamash Malon, our Mishnah says on the third line, Amar Rabbi Yosi Zumi Kula b'shamai, you should know, Man Tanakama Rabbi Yosi. Tanakama and our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi who added on an additional six cases where the Beishamai is Mekel. And what's the significance of saying whose sheet it is? What historical purposes? We're reading, writing a history book. No, it's a din. Why? Maybe Gula Loilam. It's important to say over the din in the name of Abai, in the name of Rav, in the name of Akiva, in the name of Rav Tarf, and you have to know who's the Mandama who said it. And if you say over the din, Oymadav b'shem Amrai, it sometimes can be maybe gula loylam. How do you say shenemar? The raya that they bring is a very questionable raya. We're talking about Esther Lamalach b'shem Mordechai. Mordechai overheard the way Bigsam and Seresh were plotting. They were speaking a foreign language, and they thought that Mordechai didn't understand that language. Mordechai was an expert. He was an expert linguist. He understood, the Gemara says, Mordechai Bilshon. He knew many, many languages. He knew how to combine different languages. In Megillah Esther, it doesn't say Mordechai Bilshon. I think it's in Dibra Yomim, it says like that. Bilshon means he was an extra to be Boilo Lashon. He knew how to mix up all the different languages. So he understood what the two gangsters were plotting to kill Ahasuerus. So he told Esther to tell Ahasuerus that they're out to kill him. So he saved the life of Ahasuerus. Mordechai saved the life of Ahasuerus. The time he asked on the mouth, Mishay Mordechai, so that's what brought about the Gula. Okay. That brought about the good. Because they were plotting to kill Ahasuerus. That's why I brought out a gula on that occasion. How do you see that if I say over in the name of Abai Barava, it's going to be maybe gula loilam? It's not the same thing. This is an halacha. There's an interesting, the very unusual Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Hagdomah to the Mishnah Torah. I think we must have mentioned it once. The Rambam writes in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he's going to write all the dinim. He's not going to write whose opinion it is. Not going to write Abai and Rava and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, is just going to say all the Piskei Halachas. I bet it's a din ha'imadover b'shem Romer, maybe Gula, I'm supposed to say it in the name of the Mandomar. So he says, I'm going to tell you what the Seder HaMasorah was. He gives you 40 generations. He writes, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina, Misorah Yeshua. Then he gives you, Yeshua gave it to Eliezer, and he goes, generation by generation, who is the big, most prominent Talmud Chacham in that generation? He received it from the one in the earlier generation till he gets to the 40th generation, Ravina Ravashi. That's the end. Then he goes backwards. We don't understand why. First he goes from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina Ravashi, then he goes backwards from Ravina Ravashi to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he goes 1, 2, 3 till Mem, till the number 40. And he says, therefore, I already told you to say the Hamasorah, so there's no need for me to give the names of the Tanoim and Amaroim. Why not? I'm a David B'Shemam and maybe Gula Lo'imam. What did he accomplish over here? So from the Rambam you get the impression as if what he's saying, the whole significance of Ovedama B'Shem Amroi, is you should know that this is from a reliable source, from one of the Chachmei HaMasorah. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of the Sefer, I want you to know everything I'm going to say is from reliable sources from the Talmud, and this is the Maskonah. There were many prominent rabbis in the days of the Tanoim, days of the Amaroim, and this is the history, the 40 generations, and everything I'm saying is one from one of those people or from one of their contemporaries, so everything is reliable. And he said, Bemele, there's no need to say everything B'Shem Amroi. It's that's not the way we usually assume. We usually assume, oh, done B'Shem Amroi, because like when we daven in the Shemon Esrei, we offer a tefillah that appears in Pirkei Avos. What does it mean, Mesencha Kena B'Sarasecha? We assume as if every person has a chelik in the Torah. As if each person has his chelik in the Torah. Some people have a larger chelik, some people have a smaller chelik. And you're not allowed to say, Dibre Rab Lezer B'Shem Rab Yishun, Dibre Rab Yishun B'Shem Rab Lezer. This phrase says that if you, on purpose, if you made a mistake, you forgot, okay? But if I knowingly say, Shitas B'Shamay, in the name of Beis Hillel, or Shitas Rab Lezer, in the name of Rab Yishua, so the Sifra says that, the Sifra says that you're in violation of the Dinuk, Nasasu Gvor Yacham, and Achloscha Shatincha. A strange din, that you're over on an Issa. If you say over, if you say the name of the wrong time, why? Each person has his chelik in the Torah, and this was the chelik of Rabbi Lezer, and this was the chelik of Rabbi Yeshua. He's not allowed to tzedrei. So we usually assume that the reason for him, David B'Shem Amroi, is to give the credit where the credit is due. This is his, he was Macharish this din, and the prophet Derech Eretz dictates that you have to say B'Shem Amroi. So the Rambam seems not to have understood like that. The Rambam in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah explains why he doesn't feel it necessary to identify each Tana, each Amor who said the din. I'm giving him the Seda HaMasorah, and everything I'm going to write is from all of these people, and they're all reliable. So he understood differently. I'm a Dabba B'Shem Rama, so that the listener will know that it's reliable, that it's from a reliable source. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off with this Machlokes. B'Shamayim B'Sil. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili Nachum. Rabbi Yosi Aglili is famous. He's Yodua. The Mekomesh Rabbi Yosi Aglili Ho Yochlim B'Sar Reif B'Cholov. That was his opinion. There's no Issa Derais. It doesn't make sense to introduce an Issa Derabbanon. So in his community, even years after he passed away, they all ate B'Sar Reif B'Cholov. B'Shamayim don't agree with Rabbi Lezer. B'Shamayim hold. They don't agree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The hold is exera de rabbanon not to have chicken and milk, but because it's only the rabbanon, so you have no right to make exera that it shouldn't be oil ala shulchan. So that makes sense. Now the question is basilum. Basilum say not even allowed to have two people eating, two friends eating on the same table. One is eating chicken, one is eating milk. Is that because basilum are of the opinion that chicken and milk is an isa deraisa? Or because the Basil say it's not a violation of Gzeirul Gzeir. You can never tell whether something is a Gzeirul Gzeir. Maybe it's a trade derabon, but it's not a Gzeirul Gzeir. Gzeirul Gzeir means if the second Gzeir was instituted because you think someone's going to violate an Issa derabon. Here both Gzeiris were instituted Otu and Issa deraisa. They made one din that chicken is fleshig mid derabon. Gzeir, if you'll allow people to have chicken cooked in milk, next thing you know, people will have flesh cooked in milk. So that's Gzeir Otto Deraisa. Then they made Gzeir Derabbanan, and you're not allowed to have two people eating fleshes kemilchits at the same time if they're friendly, because I may dip my cheese into his Ilfus Rishon, the Klerishon, I may make Basa B'Cholav Deraisa. So if you have two people eating, one is eating chicken, one is eating milchits, it's not a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Neither Gzeira was instituted because you're afraid someone's going to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan. Each Gzeira was instituted because you're afraid someone's going to violate an Issa D'Raisa. This is a trade D'Rabbanan. This is a double D'Rabbanan. Like a Shvuz D'Shvuz. In Hilchos Shabbos, the din is, are you permitted to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan? So you're not allowed to. That's called the Shvuz D'Shvuz. So we paskan a shvuz du shvuz muta b'moka mitzvah. Let's say to ask a non-Jew to do something that itself is only prohibited midirabbanan, so that's permissible. A shvuz du shvuz b'moka mitzvah is muta. Why is only muta b'moka mitzvah? Why not say every case of a shvuz du shvuz, a double derabbanan, is a gzeira l'gzeira? So all the achrayim say that's not a gzeira l'gzeira. That's a trade derabbanan. Gzeira l'gzeira means the second gzeira was instituted because the chachamim were concerned someone's going to violate chalila nisa derabbanan. That's insufficient cause. You can only make a gzera derabbanan if you have a tzarach gadol. If you have a tzarach katan, if you're afraid once in 100 years someone's going to violate an aver, that's a tzarach katan. So here you're afraid someone's going to violate an isa derabbanan. That's a tzarach katan. You have to have a tzarach gadol. If you're afraid someone's going to violate an isa deraisa, that's a tzarach. But here, each gzera was nigzar. Two people are not allowed to have fleshiks and milchiks because we're afraid he may bring the ilfus rishon. He may bring the kli rishon on the table. It may lead to basa b'chol of deraisa. Then they made a gzera derabbanan that chicken is fleshig otu flesh. That's a gzera otu deraisa. Here it happens to be a combination of two derabbanan. So again, it's hard to tell in Beis Shammai so far. You can't tell Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, lo oile v'lo nechal, not only are you not permitted to eat chicken and milk, you're not allowed to have them at the table if you're eating on the table at the same time, two different people. So is it because Beis Hillel hold that chicken and milk is an isa deraisa? So that's why? Oh no, they also agree with Bisham, it's only the Rabbanan, but they hold that it's not called Gzeira L'Gzeira. So let's see the next line in the Gemara. Tana Igra Chamua de Rababa. Igra was the father-in-law of Rababa, and he recited a Brisa. In the days of the Amoraim, they had lots of Brises. Everybody had another Brisa. So they were Amoraim who are reciting Brises. So the Brisa runs as follows, Ofu Gvina, Ne'echolin ba'afikoren. You're permitted to eat chicken and cheese in a hefke dika fashion. Vos says the hefke dika fashion. What do you mean hefke? You can cook chicken and meat. You can cook chicken and milk together. No, he didn't say that. Who tani lavhu amalo? This rabbi Igra, the father-in-law of Rabab. Apparently, his son-in-law was more famous than he was. To identify Igra, the father-in-law of Rabab, who tani lo? He recited the brayse of who amalo, and he said, I think the pshat is the following. The din is that if you had, let's say, milchiks, in the days of the Gemara, until very recently, everybody ate with their fingers. Not just the Hasidim ate the shirayim from the Rebbe with their fingers. Everybody ate with their fingers. It's a chiddush, the last 150 years or so, I don't know, that they invented, everybody eats with spoons and forks and knives and so on. Until very recently, everybody ate with their fingers. So if a person just had milchiks and his fingers are all full of milchiks, so he's not allowed to eat fleshiks unless he washes off netilas yadayim. It doesn't mean netilas yadayim whether bracha shekirushanim sasvan on netilas yadayim. It means to wash your hands, so you shouldn't have any milchiks on your finger. The person had milchiks and he just finished eating, so he's going to have a little cheese stuck in between his teeth. So we would say, you want to have fleshiks right away, so take a brush and brush your teeth, and take some floss and get all the cheese out in the fartik. Days of the Gemara, they didn't have a toothbrush, you didn't have floss. So they used to have kinoa chapeh. So the Gemara is going to say, how do you do kinoa chapeh? You have to chew bread, and by chewing the bread, you get all the particles out. That's the equivalent, bizman hazeh, of using a toothbrush. So, Igra recited the braise, you can eat cheese and milk, cheese and chicken, in a hefkadika fashion. What do you mean? The braisa does mean to say, like Rabbi Yisai Glili, you can cook chicken with milk. He recited the braisa and he said, I think the pshat is, there's no need to be so machmer to wash your fingers off, to get off all of the last bit of milk on the fingers. It's not necessary to clean out the mouth. Then the Gemara continues. Let's continue a little bit. Then we'll get back to analyze a little bit. Rabbi Yitzchak Brei, the Rabbi Misharshi, one of the Rabbanim, Ikla the Bei Rabashi. One Rav visited another Rav. Aisilei Givino. They gave him milchiks, ochal. So he ate the milchiks. Then they serve him fleshiks. Ochal v'lai Moshe Yode. He eats the fleshiks, and not chicken. They give him flesh, mamish. And he doesn't wash his hands. V'lai Moshe didn't wash his hands. Amri Lei. So they asked him, Rabbi, but we have a braisa, only chicken and cheese can be eaten in a hefkadika fashion, means you don't have to wash your fingers. That's an ofa gvina and basar gvina loy. That's only because chicken is only the rabbanon, so then you're not so machmed, there's no need to wash off your fingers. to get all the milchiks off. There's no need to clear out your mouth, to brush your teeth. But if you're going to have fleshiks and milchiks, you're not allowed to. So he answered, Omalahu. So the Amora who didn't wash his hands says, no, I agree, that din. Hanimili balayla, that din that we distinguish between chicken and milchiks, and flesh and milchiks, that's if you're eating at night, and you can't really see whether you have, you can feel a little bit, but you can't see so well at night. It's dark. They didn't have lights like we have by us. Nighttime is the same as daytime. Nothing, there's no difference. But with Mishmar Gemara, nighttime, even if you had a couple of candles, it was still very dark. So hanimili balayla, you can't see everything. So then you have to be concerned. Maybe you have some milk stuck on the fingers. Avobi mama, but in the daytime, hochazina, I look at my fingers and I see that I have no remnants of any. The fingers are sticky, but it has egg on it. It doesn't have any cheese on it. So I see my fingers are not milchiks. So I don't have to wash off my fingers.
What does kinoach have to do between night vis-a-vis day?
No, it doesn't say that he didn't rinse his mouth. That part, that's the same. Daytime and nighttime, sound just as he didn't wash his hands.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he did brush his teeth, but he didn't wash his hands. So he said, Hayitachin. So he said, at nighttime, when you don't see, then you have to wash the hands. At daytime, I see. I see on my fingers, there's egg that's stuck on the fingers. There's no cheese, there's no milk, so he can eat the fleshes. So Tesvis has a comment on this Gemara. How did they know to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak? What did Rabbi Yitzchak do? He had first, I said like Gemino Ocha, first he ate the milchiks, then they served him fleshiks. And then they confronted him and they said, but it says in the price of a Gemino, only of a Gemino, you don't have to be so careful, but Basar Gemino, you do have to. But they're talking about two different cases. Rabbi Yitzchak's case, this Amor who didn't wash his fingers, what's his name? Rabbi Yitzchak Breder, Rabbi Misharshia, he first had the cheese and then he had the flesh. So how did they know to ask a kash? If you have cheese and then flesh, maybe bichlal, you don't have to wash your fingers. Maybe they didn't have to wash off your fingers and chew and brush your teeth. Maybe it's only like the brisa of igra, oifu gvina, first fleshiks, and then milchiks. Maybe there's a difference which one you had first. Like we know there's a difference. We only wait. We wait 6 hours in between fleshiks and milchiks, in between milchiks and fleshiks. We don't wait 6 hours. So maybe, I think that's going to be on the next daf, about waiting 6 hours between fleshiks and milchiks. So how did the Gemara know to ask a kasha? That's what Tosfos says. How did the Gemara know to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak Breder, Rabbi Misharshia, that he had milchiks and he had right away fleshiks, and he didn't wash his fingers, and they asked Astira from the Braisa, it says only chicken and cheese. Chicken and cheese is faket. You're having first the chicken and then the cheese. So then it says, you can eat it in a hefkadika fashion. There's no need to wash your fingers. But if it would have been the reverse, first milchiks and then fleshiks, so maybe it's even mutter if you had flesh mamish. How did they know to ask akash? So Tosfos has 2 days over here. So Tosfos points out the Gemara about the waiting 6 hours on the next daf, where it says on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Aleph, it says in the Torah Or, it says Bamid Bo Yud Aleph. In the margin, right next to the Gemara, it says in the Torah Bamid Bo Yud Aleph. So the very next line says Oma Marukfe. He makes a comment, Ano Lohol Milsa, with respect to this one issue, Chala Bar Chamra Legabi Abba. My father was a holy tzaddik, and I'm nowhere near my father. I'm like vinegar, and my father's like wine. When wine stays for too long, so it spoils and it turns into vinegar. So he says, I'm like vinegar, I'm sour, I'm not like my father was a big tzaddik. Deilu Abba, my father, ki habiyochel bisra huidna, when my father would eat flesh at 7 o'clock at night, la habiyochel gvina ad lamochar ad hashta. My father would be fleshig for 24 hours. He would wait to have milchik till tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Deilu Ano, but me, I don't have such a midas chasidus. So obviously the father had a midas chasidus to wait 24 hours. That's not, we don't do it, so that's not the din. V'ilo ano, I'm not like that. B'hosu dosa hu deloy achilno. In the same suda, I won't have fleshiks and milchiks together, but if I wait from one suda to the other, the sudos achrita achilno. If I wait, I have fleshiks and one meal. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I have flesh, and I'll wait till 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. It's another suda, I will have milchiks. I only wait from one suda to the other. So this is
6 hours. Could be an hour later too.
Oh, So the Rambam writes Kimoshe Shois. The Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, writes he wait. It's approximately Shei Shois. What does it mean Kimoshe Shois? So some say 5.5 hours, the beginning of the sixth hour. Yeah. Why the beginning of the sixth hour? Why? I don't hear.
Maybe you do both ways: 6 hours for cheese and 6 hours for meat, or only for meat.
No, only for meat. Then Shulchan Aruch, they have a chumre that if you have hard cheese, very hard cheese, that was aged for 6 months, American cheese is not that. Most of the cheese that we have are not hard cheese. So there's a chumre if you had hard cheese that was aged for 6 months, you got to wait for waiting for flesh. You have to wait 6 hours. So the Rambam writes Kemoshe Shos. So many say Kemoshe Shos means you don't have to wait many hold, you don't have to wait the full 6 hours. If you wait 5.5 hours into the 6 hours, is also good.
Now, so they depend upon the wealth of the community, and some communities ate every 3 hours. That's how the minhag for a community to wait 3 hours, because their next meal was 3 hours. I understood it was based upon your next meal. So if you ate every 3 hours, then you waited only 3 hours.
That's how some communities hold, right? So the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes that the Pshat and the Gemara is Kemoshe Shos, approximately 6 hours.
Maybe where the Rambam made, they only ate every 6 hours. It's a possibility too.
Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch they discuss that. So they quote the Marshal says that one is a real Ben Torah, even if he's from such a community, should wait 6 hours. We should all follow the Rambam. That's what they recommend.
Places over here it says don't
eat the mouth. Huh?
Tesis over here seems to say right away though.
So that's what we're going to learn that Tesis. This Tesis, Kuvdal Ramebe, so if you're giving us, we're going to discuss it in a minute. Okay, right. It's all based on this, right. So the Shaila is, the father only did a Chumra, that he waited 24 hours. The son says, I'm not like my father, I don't observe that Chumra. I only wait a couple of hours, so let's say 6 hours. L'sud achrita, he'll eat. So what's sud achrita? That's a real din? That's also Midas Chasidus. That's also only a Chumra. He says, I'm not as Machmer as my father, but I also have a Midas Chasidus that's above and beyond what the din requires. So these are the 2 days in the Tosfos, Bimamas Chalok of Oif Gvina, on the previous daf. Is there really such a din that you have to wait in between Fleshiks and Milchiks a couple of hours? Let's say it's 3 hours, 6 hours, whatever. Or do you say, no, you just wash your fingers off and you chew something, you brush your teeth and you wash your fingers off. And then you can eat right away afterwards. So that's what Tosfos has, the two opinions. So one opinion in Tosfos has it, between Fleshiks and Milchiks, you have to wait a few hours. So the whole discussion on the previous daf about washing your fingers, brushing out your teeth, what do you mean? After he waits 6 hours, then he has to wash his fingers? After waiting 6 hours, he has to brush his teeth. There's nothing left already in between, nothing left to brush out in the teeth. Nothing left to watch. 6 hours later, many things. He had to diaper the baby. He had to do a lot. He had to take down the garbage. He did so many things in the last 6 hours. He has to wash off his fingers in order to remove all the flesh. So it must be that washing off the fingers, he's going to eat immediately following. So the whole discussion only is in one direction. Everything is only a discussion. You first had milchiks and then first fleshiks. You have to wait 6 hours. So forget about brushing your teeth. Forget about washing off the fingers. That's the one day in Tosfos. So that's what Tosfos said. That's why the Gemara knew that everything is in the same direction. You're having first milchiks and then fleshiks. Fleshiks and then milchiks. You don't have to wash it. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to wash your fingers. You wait 6 hours. It's a long way. And then Tosfos has the other day, you know, that even what the practice that, what's his name? That Marukva had, that was only Amidas Chasidus. Mikar Adin is not really necessary. Once he finishes, he can start eating the next meal, milchiks. He just has to wash off his fingers and clean out his mouth and so on. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, we assume the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer, Tshuva, that waiting 6 hours is not mikar adin, it's not even a din derabbanan. Having fleshiks and milchiks that were cooked together, that's the Issa Deraisa. To have fleshiks and milchiks in the same meal, even though they weren't cooked together, let's say to have ice cream as dessert after having fleshiks, so we assume that's an Issa Derabbanan. But after you finish the meal, you shouldn't have milchiks until you ate 6 hours. That's only a minik. What the father did was a minik, and what the son did was a minik. Mikra didn't, neither is really required. So the Chasam Sofer says, therefore, let's say a person has slight aches and pains. How sick does a person have to be that we permit him to violate an issa? So let's say, would we ever permit a person to eat flesh that was cooked in milk? If the doctors say that his life is in danger, unless let's say a guy's in a concentration camp, and the only food they're going to give you is basa b'chalav. If you don't eat the food, you can die from malnutrition. Hatpinish kambreris. So you say, eat the basa b'chalav, pikuach nefesh, safi pikuach nefesh, svek svek pikuach nefesh, is deicha anisa deraisa. Let's say there's no svek, there's no safik up pikuach nefesh, he's a chayla she'ein bo sakana. He doesn't feel well. He's not able to function well, and somehow by eating basa b'chalav, he'll get better. So then we assume he's not allowed to eat basa b'chalav deraisa. To violate anisa deraisa, you have to have a suffix sakana, or worse, a vada sakana, suffix sakana.
Nafal mishkavo doesn't count?
Nafal mishkavo is a chel shem sakana. Yeah, if the person is not well to the extent that he can't function normally, can't ask to lay in bed, or he's, everything is slowed down, and the doctors think if he'll have milchiks now, years ago they used to say that people who had ulcers, if they'll drink warm milk, so it somehow would help them. So if he has a serious condition of ulcers that I don't know what it corresponds to. I never had ulcers, Baruch Hashem. So if a person has a serious condition and he can't function normally, no safek sakana. No one thinks that there's safek sakana. But he's not well and he can't function normally. By having the warm milk, this will somehow solve his problem. He'll be able to. So then we would permit him to violate anisa derabbanan. So what's anisa derabbanan? To have the milchiks within 1 hour. That's based on the Zohar. That doesn't say the Gemara. They quote a Zohar that you shouldn't have fleshiks and milchiks b'chad shaita. So that's the question. What do you mean b'chad shaita? So some translators, it's quoted in your everyday. I don't sit and read Zohar. It's quoted in your everyday. So they said b'chad shaita, I would have said, means b'vasachas, simultaneously. So in your everyday, they assume, no, b'chad shaita means within 1 hour, within 60 minutes, yeah. So they assume that's a real Issa Derabbanan. So to be mater in Issa Derabbanan, you need it should be a chayla shem misakana. But what if he has slight aches and pains? He doesn't feel well, but it's not going to slow him down. He's going to be able to function. He's going to be running around. He's going to have a little bit of bellyache. It's going to hurt him a little bit. So the Chassam Sofer says, after he waited 1 hour to wait the remaining 5 hours to make it 6 hours, that's only a minig. So in order to violate a minig, if you're a chayla shem misakana, is already, if you're a mechesh b'yalma, if you have slight aches and pains, that's already sufficient to allow you to violate a minig. To violate an isa deraisa, you have to have that it should be a suffix sakana, or worse. To violate an isa derabanan, you have to have that it should be a chayla shem b'sakana, means not for lemishkav. He's not well to the extent that he can't function normally. He has to lay in bed, or everything is slowed down, he has a splitting headache or something like that. And to violate a minig, you don't even need so much. If he just has a slight ache and pain, so we would allow him to violate a minig. Yeah, the Pischei Tshuva quotes it and he leaves it like that.
Some sort of goes in chicken as well as meat, or only meat?
I mean, since chicken is only the Rabbanon, so maybe even the 1 hour, there's room to be mekel. Could be. I don't know. You gotta look again.
Why does the Rabbanon use the word kamoshi?
Right. So some say approximately means into the 6th hour. Of 5.5 hours. People who were there when Rabbi Aaron Kotler founded the Lakewood Yeshiva say that that's what they told me, that he set up every day, they had fleshiks for lunch from 12 to 1, then they had milchiks every day for supper at 6 o'clock, and it was always before 6 hours. It was always in the middle of the 6th hour. And he said, because 5.5 hours are going to into the 6th hour. The Rambam says, Kamoshe Shoes. Kamoshe Shos. I remember when we were learning every day, so someone asked Rav Soloveitchik about such a practice, so he said he never heard of it. Waiting into the 6th hour. So then they quoted the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. But they asked him, he said he never heard of it. So then they asked him, well, those who have that practice, could it be that it's based on the principle of Miktus Hayam Kekulai? So there's a din Miktus Hashor Kekulai. So he said, what are you talking about? There is no such din. Mixing up kakula doesn't apply. He said, no, what it means is the Gemara says you have to wait from one meal to the other. So he said, if you eat lunch from 12 to 1, and then you eat supper from 6 to 7, so it's a little more than 5 hours, that's misuda to suda. That's what it means. But it doesn't mean that there's a halach of 6 hours, a mixer sashok kakula. There is no such halach. That's what he said at that time.
On kashrut of medicine, they don't have argument with the manufacturer of the medicine.
What do you mean they don't have to argue?
Machloket. You know, same between between the mashgiach and the baal habayit shel hameyatzer et ha'terufot.
What do you mean the machlokes?
Machloket, maybe it's not kosher. He puts something that the medicine is not kosher.
If you have a medicine that doesn't taste good, so then strictly speaking, even if it's chazer, if it's nifsa machilo sodom, so then there's no isa. Then there's no isa. We would still recommend that you should, it's, if it's available to have kosher medicine, then it's better to have kosher medicine. The Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was a little baby, so the mother put him in a basket in the river in order that the Mitzrayim shouldn't kill him. So then he was crying and he wanted to nurse. So they took him on to the Noshim Mitzrios and he wouldn't nurse. And then the sister was there. So the sister asked Bas Para, Eilach, should I go get the Isha Menekes Min Ha'ivrios? And then he nursed from the Jewish mother, from his own mother. So the Medrash says, the Yeramah quotes this in Yeridah, that let's say the Jewish mother is unable to nurse her baby, she doesn't feel well. So you have to get a non-Jewish woman to nurse the baby, so you should ask the non-Jewish woman not to eat treifas. Even though, strictly speaking, the milk of a woman who's eating kosher food, milk of a woman who's eating treifa food, alpidin, they're both mutter. But still, even though it's mutter, but the milk developed because of the food that the non-Jewish woman ate. So if the non-Jewish woman is going to eat treifa food, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from the non-Jewish mitzvahs, because they had eaten macholas asuras. So even though, bottom line, the milk is kosher, but still, it's better to have kosher milk that started off kosher than to have treifa milk. So the same over here. Once you have a medication that doesn't taste good, it tastes awful. So strictly speaking, it's mutter. If I have, let's say, a piece of ham, and I left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it smells awful and it tastes awful, and I sit and I eat it, so that's a machlokes, it's mutter min haTorah. So that's a machlokes mid the Rabbanon, do you say achshevei? Machlokes the Rosh and the Ramban. So in Yeridah, we pass them like the Rosh, that it's also to eat it mid the Rabbanon. You sit and you eat it, so you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it was never nifsum achilos adam harai, you're sitting and you're eating it. But that's only if you sit and you eat a whole steak. But if you just pop a pill in your mouth and the pill tastes awful, so then there is no achshevei. You can't say, I demonstrate by my eating the pill that as far as I'm concerned, it's very achilos adam. People do all kinds of things for medical reasons, for medical purposes. So you can't say that it's also because of achshevei. So if the pill doesn't taste good, strictly speaking, it's kosher, even if it's made from treif ingredients, but it's better if you can get, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva like that. So he says it's better if you can get with the hashgacha that everything is kosher, like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from the Nosh and Mitzvah because they ate non-kosher food. If the pill does taste good, usually it tastes good because they put a non-kosher coating on top. So the pill itself that has the medical value is probably not Royal Achilas Sodom, but they put some flavoring on top, so that flavoring can often be treif. So that does taste good. So that's a problem. That'll be a problem. So it's better to have pills that don't taste good. Pills that don't taste good are by definition, they're all kosher. That's how they say Rabban Soloveitchik. When the Balabatim and Maria used to ask him, when he used to be there over Maria, so he used to ask him, are they allowed to take pills? So he said, what does it taste like? If it tastes awful, they're all kosher. There's no problem. That's what it says here every day.
What's the rocket you have to eat some because of health reasons?
If you have to eat non-kosher food to save your life,
yeah.
There's a machloikis whether you say a bracha on non-kosher food. So we paskin, you don't say a bracha on non-kosher food unless b'makom safek sakana. Let's say a person in a concentration camp and they give him chazer to eat and hotnish kembrera. If he doesn't eat it, he runs a risk of dying from malnutrition. So then we paskin in such a case, you say the regular bracha, whatever bracha you say. Some hold that, let's say, a person has to eat on Yom Kippur. An older person, sick, has a condition, so we paskin, he does say a bracha. Some distinguish, some say on Yom Kippur, the food is kosher, but you're not allowed to eat, so then you do say a bracha. If you're eating non-kosher food, then you don't say a bracha, even if you eat it, mishum pikoch. Now, we don't paskin like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we have accepted the opinion that if you have to eat the non-kosher food, mishum safek sakana, so we paskin, you do say a bracha. If there's no safek sakana, remember there was a boy from NCSY whose parents were not religious. So they always served him nevela, meat. And he knew you're not allowed to say a bracha and then a veilah meat. He was a high school boy. He knew. So he always used to wash because the bread was kosher. He always used to wash and say hamaitzi, so he wouldn't have to say bracha on the chaza, on the nevelas of treifas. And then he would bench. Not allowed to say burn the foshes after the nevelas of treifas either. So he said hamaitzi and he would bench. So there was no shayla of a bracha. He had no brera. His parents would kill him if he wouldn't eat the non kosher
meat. Anyway, the bread is more important than the meat.
Okay, that's why it covers. That's why the hamaitzi covers the bracha on the meat. Yeah. That was his hamtzah.
In the hierarchy of eating during the 9 days in fleishiks, they always say that if a person is sick and has to eat fleishiks, it's better to have fowl as opposed to. Is that because of the in India? Because meat is different than the chicken.
What's the reason why we don't eat fleishiks during the 9 days? We don't have basar v'yayin because we don't have it's not because of lavelus. The oval in the middle of shiva is allowed to have basar v'yayin. And the oynah mishem meisem mutalafani before the kvura, he's not allowed to have basar v'yayin because we're afraid he gets so involved in the flesh and in the wine, he'll forget about burying the mace. But on Tisha B'av in the 9 days, what do you mean he's going to forget about burying the mace? There are no mason. There's nothing that he can do now. So why do we have a minhag not to eat basar v'yayin if the oval is permitted to? During Shiva, the oval is permitted to eat basar v'yayin. So the minhag is based on the fact, the Gemara says in the end of Cheskes Habatim, the last daf in Cheskes Habatim, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so some of the Hasidim approached the Rabbanim in that generation and said, maybe we should prohibit basar v'yayin. Kozman, we brought Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbeach, so we're giving Yayin to the Rabban Shalom, so we feel comfortable drinking wine. Kozman, we're burning Karbonis on the Mizbeach, we're burning flesh on the Mizbeach, we're giving the Rabban Shalom flesh, so we feel we have a right to eat flesh. But once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we're not giving the Rabban Shalom his basar v'yayin, so what right do we have to eat basar v'yayin? So the Rabbanim said it's not a smart idea, because then you can't drink water, because they used to pour water on the Mizbeach, Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. Then you can't eat bread, cake, or cookies. Can't eat any bread, cake, or cookies that they brought Menachas on the Mizbeach. You make life impossible. That's a gzeirah shein rov atzi b'yichodim lamed boy, so forget it. So that's what the Rishonim say, that's all year long, to observe such a chumrah, not to have basar v'yayin, so that'll be too difficult. Life will be too difficult. But to observe just for the 9 days, some had a minhag for the 3 weeks. The minhag, they write, the Rishonim say the minhag started from the women who prepared the meals. The minhag didn't start from the Rabban. The minhag started from the women who prepared the meals, so they felt that it's not right to serve basar v'yayin for the 9 days. Thus came an ois halten. For 9 days you can survive without basar v'yayin. That's not exerish and rebat tibi chalam lamuva. So chicken they never brought on the mizbeach. Even if you bring a carbon oif, no. You don't burn it on the mizbeach. So since the flesh that they burnt on the mizbeach is flesh, so the ikar minig really started on flesh. And then chicken was a later minig, that even chicken is included. So if a person doesn't feel strong enough and he has to have, if he can pull through with chicken, he should eat the chicken instead of eating the milk, the flesh. Yeah. But that's not why the minig developed. Minig didn't develop because of the simcha. Minig developed because the Gemara says, because of the basa that they're not makriv on the mizbech anymore. So here there's a taisvis.
All these camps, whatever they make a
siyum
to get out of it, I mean.
Yeah.
But is it a halakhic problem or
a hashkafic
problem?
I think that the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to encourage that everyone should make siyum, and we should realize that we're holding by the geula. We're holding by the end. We shouldn't cry as much. Years ago, people used to say all the kinnis. Now, many shuls, they don't say all the kinnis. People have to go to work. Okay. That's a consideration. A lot of people go to work on Tisha B'Av. And then, what he's saying, well, the kinnis, we already have Medina Yisrael. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet, there's still what to cry about, but we're on our way. We're on our way to building the Beis HaMikdash. Things are much better than they used to be years ago. So that's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to encourage Bedavke. Everyone should make a scene. Okay. Okay.
I want to ask you, when the baby is born, just born, is not so preferable to the mother feed the baby right away after the baby was born.
So what happens right after the baby is born?
The mother feeds the baby.
Uh-huh.
With the own milk.
Yeah, yeah.
So one showing gift to the mother.
Yeah.
And continue like this for 120 years to feed the child. You know, I know that the fleece reached the teenage, you know, to feed at home the food. This child will grow up better off when he knows he has a home to eat, not in the restaurant.
Those are vadas? Okay, I'm asking. Okay. The home food is better. So here, Taisus on Kuvdal on the base has a comment. Taisus writes a comment. Igra, the father-in-law of Rababa, who presented this brisa, that you can eat chicken and cheese in a hafkerizdika fashion, that there's no need to wash until it's adam, no need to brush your teeth, is because he holds that clearly because basa b'chol on chicken is only the rabbanon. So that's why he's makel. So Taisus says, it's around six lines from the bottom. Igra is mekel mishum de saver psare pecholav lav deraisa. The line begins with the words lav deraisa. Igra is mekel because chicken is only basim pecholav drabanon, and we don't paskan like him. But like kaim alon hachi, we don't hold like that. We don't hold like what? So the shach has two ways to read the tesis. So he says there were those earlier achrayim from the 1400s who understood in Tosfos, we don't paskin like that, that chicken and milk is only the Rabbanon, we paskin chicken and milk is the Raisa, so therefore there are no leniencies, therefore there are no kulas. And that's why Bishilul hold lo oyle v'lo nechal, because Bishilul hold that Bisharay Pecholav is the Rabbanon. So the Shach doesn't think that that's the correct Pshat. The Shach thinks, of course we paskin chicken and milk is only the Rabbanon. That's the first hilf in the Hilchos Basa Pecholav. Chicken is only Rabbanon. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that even deer meat and milk is only the Rabbanon. Olaf and Chaya is only the Rabbanon. Only Behemah is their Raisa. But Taisus meant, Igra thinks because it's the Rabbanon, therefore you're lenient. But like Kaimalan Hachi, we don't pasken for that leniency. We do pasken chicken and milk is only the Rabbanon. But we hold just because it's only the Rabbanon, it's not right to be more lenient than chicken. Because it's not a gzera, the gzera. The two gzeras, the gzera on chicken was made out of deraisa, and the gzera of washing your fingers was made out of deraisa. They happen to combine here. It's like a shvuz de shvuz, like a trade de rabbana. But it does make it into a gzera, the gzera. That's the line in Tosfos that you have the debate. So the Shach says, we really don't paskin. We don't paskin like that pshat. That Tosfos meant to say that the b'sarek b'cholav is deraisa. We hold that it's only the rabbana. And then in this Tosfos they show the two ways how to read the Gemara. The debate is the Amora who said Marukva, who said I don't compare to my father used to wait 24 hours, I was only Midas Chassidus, I only wait 6 hours. Is that a din midi Rabbanon? Is that a din midi Rabbanon? I have to wait 6 hours. So what are you talking about washing your fingers and brushing your teeth? It was 6 hours later. So it must be the whole story in the Gemara only goes fakert if you had milchiks first and then fleishiks. Fleshik's first, you got to wait 6 hours. Forget about washing. Well, no, this is also a chumrah. The father was a big midas chasidus, and the son was a little midas chasidus. And the Bryce here was talking mikra din. The mikra din, if you finished eating the fleshik's, you wash off your fingers, and you can have the milchiks. Those are the 2 days in Tosfos. How to read the Gemara?
Rabbi Yisrael specifically says, "Both
of
these
he had first milchiks and then he had fleshiks." Right. So that's clear that it's talking first milchiks, then fleshiks. But the brisa that they quoted and they made the diuk, Vatani Igra, and they made the diuk only if you had oifa gvina. But if you had basa or gvina, you do have to wash off your fingers. That means you have basa first and then gvina. And all you have to do is wash your fingers? That's it? So Tosfos says, yeah, that's it. Well, no! Basar gvina means gvina basar. It wasn't written b'diuk. It's lav davke. It means the reverse. So those are the two pshatim and tosis.
When the Gemara says gvina, it's not machalik between a hard cheese, a soft gvina.
Gvina means milchiks. Yeah, that's a chumra from the later achrayim. From the later achrayim. The Ramah quotes it that if you have a gvina kosher that aged for 6 months, and you treat it like flesh, and you have to wait a full 6 hours. Yeah. The Shach tells you to look in the Svarim that many are not happy about that chumrah. It made up a new chumrah from thin air.
The Gemara doesn't seem to be milchalik. Right.
Right. The Gemara does not distinguish. Right. So now the Gemara is going to discuss how exactly do you brush your teeth. How are we supposed to do it? Tanya, the last two lines on Kuv Dalan on the base. Tanya, Bishami Amrim, Mikaneach. What does it mean, Mikaneach? Bisil Amrim, Mediach. What do you mean? Mikaneach means you have to clean out your teeth, and Mediach means you have to wash your fingers. So wait a minute. Bishami Amrim, Mikaneach. Let's say you had first milchiks and then fleshings. We assume you have to wait 6 hours after fleshings. So we're talking fakert. You had first milchiks, then you want to have fleshings. So Bishami say you have to be mikaneach. Bisilami medich. The Gemara says, my mikaneach, or my medich. What do Bishami mean? What do Bisil mean? What are they talking about? Ilema. Bishami yamim mikaneach. Rashi says, piv. He has to clean out his teeth. Velo boy medich. We assume you have to do two things. You have to rinse out your mouth also. Have a drink. Rinse out. Netilas yadayim, that's on the fingers. And Bisham and Yisrael are both talking about how do you clean out your teeth. So mikaneach means you chew something. Abayasa would mean you use a toothbrush. And medich means you rinse your mouth out. Either you rinse out and you spit out the beverage, or you rinse, you drink a beverage and you rinse your mouth out and you swallow the whole beverage. Fine. So ilema, if you should say bishami, say mikaneach, and you don't need mediach, you have to brush the teeth, but you don't have to rinse out. Bisilam mediach, v'lo boy mikaneach. How can it be that no one holds you have to have mediach and mikaneach in the mouth? V'lohod omer abzeire, en kinuach hapeh, elu bepas. In the days of the Gemara, the way to do kinuach, the way to clean out the particles of cheese in between the teeth, was by chewing some bread. So the Gemara says, but that's only according to Beis Shammai. Bisil hold there's no need to have mikaneach. All you need is medich to rinse out the mouth. So keman ke Beis Shammai. We don't paskan like, we rarely paskan like Beis Shammai. So Reb Zeir is making a statement within Beis Shammai, we don't accept Beis Shammai shita. Eli, you have to say like this, Beis Shammai yomim mikaneach v'lo boi medich. Beis Shammai said, all you have to do is mikaneach. Bisil say, you need both. You need both mikaneach and medich. Wait a minute. So then it comes out that Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. So how come in that long Mishnah in 80 is a whole perek? It lists off all the cases where there's a machlekes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai is the mekel and Beis Hillel is the machmir. And then Rabbi Yossi added on another six. And this case doesn't appear, not in the original list and not in the additional list that Rabbi Yossi adds on. So Gemara says, if that's what the Braisa means, Beis Shammai say, mikaneach, you have to brush the teeth, and there's no need to rinse out the mouth. Beis Hillel say, af mediach, you have to both brush out the teeth and rinse out the mouth. And when Rab Zera says, how do you brush the teeth? By chewing bread. They didn't have toothbrushes. They said chewing bread. So it's both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, if that's the way to read the Braisa, then it turns out, havelam mikula Beis Shammai v'chum Beis Hillel, v'lesanya gabi kula Beis Shammai v'chum Beis Hillel. How come it doesn't appear in that perek in 80s? Tanakhama doesn't list it, Rabbi Yossi doesn't list it. Ella, the Gemara says, you have to read the Braisa that there never was a machlekes Bisham and Bisil. Each one agrees with the other one. Bishila, Bisham, I say, Mikanech, Vuadin, Bidiach. Bisil, I say, Need Medich, Vuadin, Mikanech, Omar, Machada, Omar, Machada, Vuadin, Pligi. They don't really disagree. They're all saying the same thing. Everybody agrees the same thing. So that's what we assume, that if you had milchiks and you want to have fleshiks right away, so there's a passage in the Zohar, the same Zohar that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef quotes this, and on the page, the Vilna Gaon quotes it on the bottom of the page. The Zohar says you shouldn't have fleshiks b'chadu shaita with milchiks, and milchiks b'chadu shaita with fleshiks. So pashup shat, you can say b'chadu shaita means b'vasacha, shouldn't have together fleshiks and milchiks. So they assume not so, because the Zohar says you shouldn't have in one seuda, and you shouldn't have b'chadu shaita. If you shouldn't have in one seuda, so of course you can't have b'chadu shaita. So that's what leads them to translate b'chadu shaita within an hour of each other. You have to wait an hour in between milchiks and fleshiks in both directions.
If we're looking to create a difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, maybe we can say it's the order in which things have to be done.
Which one first and which one second?
Ah.
So how do you read it? Bishama Yarmin Mikaneach. First.
first you have to brush and then you rinse. Uh-huh. And Basil says, no, first you rinse, then you brush.
Interesting question. I don't know. I don't know. The Gemara didn't consider that as a possibility. You're asking why not? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch quote this passage from the Zohar that you have to wait an hour in between milchiks and fleishiks. You have to wait an hour between fleishiks and milchiks. On Shavuos, many people have a minig that you have milchiks. What's that minig based on? So on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says the minig was that they would have first have milchiks and then have fleishiks in the same meal. That normally on Shabbos and Yontif you have hamoitzi on two chalas, lecha mishneh, and then you eat from one of the two chalas. You don't eat up all the chalas, unless you have a lot of people. So everybody eats up all the chalas. But usually you only eat one chalas. On Shavuos, a special korban was brought in the Beis HaMikdash that was known as shtei alechem. So to make a zechet to the shtei alechem, so the Ramah says the minig developed that you eat from both chalas. So how do you see to it that everyone will make sure that they eat from both chalas? So the minig was that you start first eating fleishiks, you start first eating milchiks, and in the days of the Shuruch they didn't have forks and knives and spoons and so on. So they have milchiks, they're eating with their fingers. You're eating with your fingers, then you're eating challah, so that whole challah becomes milchik. So then if you want to have fleishiks later on, the minig was they had fleishiks in the same meal, so then they would have to wash their fingers off, then they have to eat the other challah. So this would force everybody to eat both, so a little bit from each one of the challahs. Because if you're eating challah with milchik sticky fingers, you made the challah milchik. If you eat, let's say there would be challah left over from the Shabbos meal, Amatzoi Shabbos, so they would assume the challah is fleishig. Everybody must have been eating with their sticky fingers and touching the challah. Shabbos today, nobody eats with the sticky fingers. We always eat with spoons and forks. So maybe the whole din no longer applies. That's a shayla. This chumr in Shulchan Aruch that the challah left over after a fleishig meal should not be eaten with milchik. So the challah left over in a milchik meal should not be eaten with fleishig. Bizman is that the whole thing doesn't make any sense. No one's touching the challah with sticky fingers. You always cut the challah. You don't rip up a piece of challah. You cut the challah with a knife. Then you take a slice of challah. So that slice of challah that you chewed with the milchik. So that slice is going to be milk. Who says the rest of the challah is going to be milk? But this was the minig in the days of the Ramah. He says the minig used to be first to have milchiks, then to have fleishiks in the same meal, so that they would force everybody to eat a little bit from each of the two challahs. Normally on Shabbos, the Yontif would only eat from one of the two challahs. You have to have lechem mishnah when you say amoitzah, but you don't have to eat from both lechem mishnah. And on Shavuah, zecha v'shtei lechem, so they would eat from both. So the poskim have a discussion. According to the Zohar, that's not proper. The Zohar says you're not supposed to eat fleishiks and milchiks b'chod asuda. And then it says you have to wait an hour in between. So, al-pinigle, it's mutter. You wash off your fingers, you brush your teeth, and then you start eating fleishiks. So, al-pi-alocha, you're allowed to have the fleishiks after the milchiks, and there's no need to bench and have a pause in between. So, the shaila is, if you're going to bench and then wait an hour and then have the second meal, you're ready to eat the fleishik meal right away. If one wants to be machmir for the Zohar, is that a violation of Gorim Brocha Shein Etzricha? You're benching and then you're washing the Tillus Adam, then you're saying another Hamoitzi, Al-Pinigle, according to the Gemara, you could have finished the whole meal the way it is. You could have continued to eat your fleishiks and there's no problem. So that's a pilpul that the Achrayim have. Is it permissible to be machmir for the Zohar if, according to the Din and the Gemara, that's a violation of Gorim Brocha Shein Etzricha? Brocha Shein Etzricha is not a Brocha Levat Tola. That that person is in the middle of a meal, if he wants to, he can bench. Then he's still starving, he's still hungry. He eats, he has a sandwich. He eats a half a sandwich, then he benches, then he has to wash again to eat the other half, and then he says, Amoitzi, and then he has to bench again. He could have covered everything with one brach and a tilasan, one Amoitzi, with one brachas hamozit. The way he did it, that he benched in the middle, so he's required to wash again. He's required to say an a tilasadim, he's required again to say Amoitzi. But it's not a bracha levatola, but it's a garim bracha shein etzvicha. In the normal course of events, he could have covered everything with one set of brachas, one netilas yadayim, and one amoitzi, and one birchas amozim. So the Gemara says that that's an isa de rabbanon. If he has hesach hadas in between, but he didn't have to have the hesach hadas. He was prepared to eat the whole meal. So he goes out of his way to make a hesach hadas. So that's an issue of garim bracha shein etzvicha. You say, when our Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we have that issue. How are you going to have Shalosh Shudas? So the pasuk can say you split up when you come home. You can't eat a whole meal in the afternoon. Samach l'mincha, you can't eat a meal. So you split up the morning meal. So you eat the half a meal, then you wash. You wash, you say, I'm right, so you eat a half a meal, and you're still hungry. Then you bench, and then you wash again for Shalosh Shudas. You wash again for Shalosh Shudas. Mamish Goren Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. That should be Mamish the Yisr. So many poskim hold, it's not Goren Bracha Sheina Tzvicha in Hilchas Bichas Anenin, it's a Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. As far as he was concerned, he could have eaten a whole meal in the morning when he came home from Shul. Pesach, could have eaten, he's prepared to eat the whole meal. But it's Tzvicha for the purpose of fulfilling a different mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas. So maybe that's not called a Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. So some Achrayim say that that's not a violation of Goren Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. So that's what some say over here. If you want to, that's the question. You want to satisfy the Chumra of the Zohar, not to have Fleshiks and Milchiks in the same meal, and to wait an hour in between. So maybe that's not called the Goren Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. If you're going to wait an hour, that'll be a Hesach Hadassah already. So then it won't be considered a Goren Bracha Sheina Tzvicha. So that's a whole debate in the Poskim. Is that proper or not? Is it proper for many generations that people were not concerned? They didn't worry about the Zohar. They just had, the Ramon describes, they started the meal on Shavuos with milchiks, and then they washed their hands, and they brushed their teeth, and they had the fleshiks in the same meal. And then in later generations, they started to be worried. Maybe we should be choshish for the Zohar, and maybe it's a Goren Baruch Hashem Tzvich, maybe not. So it was a big machlokes, whether that's proper or not. So again, so the... Most people don't. Most people don't have that many, right? That was in the days of Ramo. So the Gemara says that Bisham and Visil don't disagree with each other at all. Mara machada, mara machada, velo pligi. You need Natilis Yadayim also. You have to wash off your fingers, except if it's Bimama. You see, you don't have any cheese on your fingers, so then you don't have to worry. And about the inside the mouth, you have to, they both agree you need both. You have to have hadoche to rinse it out with some beverage and to swallow or to spit out the beverage, okay. And then bimkanech to chew something, by us you use a toothbrush. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have a toothbrush, so they would be mekanech by chewing something. So the Gemara says, exactly how do you mekanech? What's the substitute for a toothbrush? Gufa amar abzer enkinu chapeh ela bepas. The way to accomplish cleaning out the particles of cheese that are caught in between your teeth is by chewing bread. Zog di gemara v'hani mili b'dechiti. That's only if the bread is made from wheat. Av b'desairi, if the bread is made from oats, lo, if it's made from barley. Sorim is barley. If it's barley bread, then it's not gonna clean out. It's just gonna get more stuck in the teeth. If you have bread that's made from wheat, so that's stiffer, so that's like a little bit, it'll be abrasive and it'll get out whatever you have caught in between the teeth. But if it's made from barley, it's not going to help. And even if it's bread made from chitim, if the bread is cool, if it's cold, if you have freshly baked bread that's very soft, and you're going to chew it, so just going to, the bread is just going to, it's not, you have to have hard bread. You have to have hard bread. If you have soft bread that's freshly baked, Mishta Shatri is just going to blend in with the stuff in the mouth. It's not going to succeed in getting out the particles. Okay. Has to be hard bread. This talach has to be hard bread. The Ilchus Ozag de Gemara, yeah, by us, it's irrelevant. Nothing irrelevant. Use a toothbrush. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have toothbrushes. So this is a substitute. Whatever you chew is good, except if you're going to chew kemach. You're going to chew something that's already in tiny particles, so that's not going to accomplish anything. You have to chew something that's hard. Okay.
Halacha l'maaseh, nowadays, if you know that you have a piece of meat stuck in your tooth, you can't get it out, you're trying. How long does it wait before you get the milk? You know that it's there, you just can't take it out.
No, so we wait 6 hours, and then we try to, if we know there's something there, we try to get it, can't get it out, so you ignore it. So you're allowed to have milk. It doesn't count. It doesn't have the chashivas of flesh anymore. The Rishonim have a machlokes. What's the idea? Why do we insist dafkan on waiting between fleshiks and milchiks 6 hours? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the two reasons, Rashi and the Rambam. So some Rishonim say because the basa is going to get stuck in between the teeth, right? And then the other Rishonim say because the flavor of the flesh when you swallow, the flavor of hesh will linger on. So when you have the milchiks later, you have the sensation as if you're having milchiks together with flesh, because the flavor will linger on. So they say in Shulchan Aruch, what is it? What is it? And then it says in the Shach, I think, we're choshish for both. We're machma for the both shittas. I machma for both shittas, the Gemara says, and all the machlekes in Bisham and Bisilil. So if someone is machma like both, he's haksil b'chosh ha'cholach, he's a fool. If you make a like both, so you're a Rasha. Make a like Bisham and Bisilil, so you're a Rasha. If you machma like both, the Gemara says, you're haksil b'chosh ha'cholach, you have to follow your Rebbe. So we pass like Bisilil, so the din is like Bisilil. Those who learned by the Bisham, I say they follow Bisham. But to be machma from both is foolish. How come over here the Shach recommends you should be machma for both? So they point out the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Rabbi Akiva was mafrish on Buxer. He was mafrish. There's a Shemitah cycle, 7 year cycle. So the first 3 years are one unit, the next 3 years are the next unit, then whatever grows during Shemitah is all hefker. So the first 3 years, the breakdown is the first 2 years in Mafrish Tru Magdala, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni. The third year, instead of Maiser Sheni, Mafrish Maiser Rani. And the next 3 years, same as the first 3 years. So let's say, what do you mean? The pears that grow in the second year, pears that grow in the third, the pears are so careful, they start growing after Rosh Hashanah, they finish before next Rosh Hashanah, they stay in between the two borders, they start before Rosh Hashanah and they go after Rosh Hashanah. How do you determine what year it belongs to? So the Gemara says that there's a Rosh Hashanah Le'ilana, he says Tu Bishvat, and then you go Basa Chanota, by Perisim you go Basa Chanota, and by Yerukas you go Basa Lakita, and by Tvua you go Basa Habashlish. So there's a moment in time, and you have to determine when did that moment in time occur. Did it occur before or after Rosh Hashanah? Did it occur before or after Tu Bishvat? So then the Mishnah has a machlekes Bisham and Bisil. When is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? Is it Tu Bishvat or is it Echad Bishvat? So whatever Bisil will say, that's how we're going to pass him. The halacha is like Bisil because they were the rabbim, they were the majority. But there are two versions of what Bisil said. Do Bisil believe in Tu Bishvat or Bisham believe in Tu Bishvat? Bisil all from Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So Rabbi Kiva was Mesupik, so he was Mafrish both. He was the boxer is Peres Eilon. You got Basa Chanota. Had a Chanota in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu Bishvat. So he was machmet to be mafrish both Maiser Sheni and Maiser Rani. So the Gemara says Dasachach Sil Bachoish Chaylech. He's machmet for Bisham and Bisil. The Gemara says no. Gemara is topically. He wasn't sure what the tradition. He knew the din is like Bisil, but we're not sure what the tradition is. What did Bisil say? Did Bisil say Tu Bishvat? Bisil say Echad Bishvat. So then you have to be machmet for both. So that's what the Prima Gadim says. Here the Gemara says you have to wait 6 hours in between Fleishiks and Milchiks, and the other way not. So what's the reason for the difference? Is it because Yabosa Shebein Hashinayim, or is it because the Tam is Nirgash? You're going to have Milchiks later, and you're still going to have the flavor of the Fleishiks in your mouth. You're going to have the sensation as if you're having Fleishiks and Milchiks. So we're not sure which is the correct Pshat in the Gemara, Rashi or the Rambam. So the Shach says you have to be Machman for both. That's not called Aksil B'chosh HaHelech. That's like Rabbi Kiva, was Gemara is topically. He's not sure what the correct Pshat in the Gemara is. So we're Machman for both. So what's an afkamina machma for both? So they have the classical case they have in Shulchan Aruch is the little baby doesn't have teeth, so he can't chew the flesh on his own. So the mother chews up the flesh in her teeth, then she gives it very hygienic. So the mother chews up the flesh in her teeth, then she gives it to the baby should be able to swallow. So the mother may or may not have basa shemina shenayim, but she's not going to have the flavor of the flesh for too long because she didn't swallow it. The tam remains, lingers on if you swallow the flesh. But if you just chew it in your teeth, there's only an issue of Basel Shebein HaShenayim. So that's one of the cases where they say you should be machmer for the both opinions. Then they have cases where the chumr goes in the other direction as well. So that's what the...
Rabbi, how do you define chanata when you say Basel chanata? Go get the fruit chanata and the vegetables.
What's the definition of chanata? Is a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos what it means in the first perek in Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says it's when the fruits on the tree start to blossom, a very early stage. Tosfos says that's way too early. It can't be when the petals fall off, and the fruit is starting to develop. It's not right lachila yet. How can you? So Tosfos says no. Chanata means like havua shlish and tvuah. So chanata is the parallel to that. When it's beginning to ripen. When the fruit is already pretty big, it's beginning to ripen. I'm not a farmer. So I don't know, but it's clearly machlekes Rashi and Tosfos what chanata means. Rashi holds it's a much earlier stage than Tosfos holds. Okay. There wouldn't be. You wouldn't have to wait. Masheini can't come to the other time that you. The flavor of the flesh will be lingering on for longer. What?
I mean, can
you
take something
that rules
the taste also?
Schnapps. Okay. Use toothpaste. Use the mouthwash. Okay. So if you use mouthwash, so you don't have the tom, and use toothpaste, so you don't have any particles, so you have neither. So then it'll turn out. You don't have to wait. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that this is not a loy plug rabbanon. It says whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the whole minig doesn't apply. The whole waiting 6 hours, we assume, is only a minig. What the Chasam Sofer said, that's what that's the position that we adopt. Waiting 6 hours is only a minig, and that's why we're mekel, even if it's a bari with a mechesh biyama. You don't have to wait 6 hours. The 1 hour, the Chasam Sofer doesn't say on that. That the Kaf HaChaim says, even though the Chasam Sofer was mekel in the last 5 hours, he thinks the first hour you should be choshish for the Zoyar, that to have milchigs and flesh within an hour, that's a real din midirabbanan. So for that, you would only be mekel if it's a chol l'shem b'sakon.
But it's a minhag rabbi that has the status of the neder.
It's a minhag of the kehillah. Yeah, there's a neder ha-yochid, then there's a neder ha-tzibur. The tzibur takes a shvua. The tzibur takes a neder. Midirabbanan. The Gemara says minhag is binding mitam neder. There's bal yachal midirabbanan. That's a Gemara in the Dorm Daft Hezvav. That the Gemara says. The Gemara interprets a Mishnah. The Mishnah there on Yudalit says there's an Isa Bal Yachel. Yachel Dvar. Person took a neder, he's not allowed to violate the neder. So the Gemara says, why is it a neder? It shouldn't be. But the Gemara says, it's only Bal Yachel and the Rabbana. The Gemara says, that's reasonable to interpret a Tana that he says Bal Yachel means with the Rabbana. The Gemara says, yeah. And they quote the Braisa that says, they're not allowed to violate a minig because it's Bal Yachel. And the Gemara says that it's only Bal Yachel and the Rabbana. So you can fairly interpret the Mishnah and Daf Yudalit in the Dharm that it's only by Yachal and the Rabban. So it's a Beferish Gemara that Minig is binding Mitam Neder, and Neder needs Lebate Bisvasayim, you have to pronounce it with your lips. And Minig means we never said it, we just, that's our Minig, we practice this way. So the maximum it can be is only going to be a Neder and the Rabban, it's not a Neder and a Ter. The Chasam Sofer lived at the time that the Reform was starting to pick away on Minhagim. So they did away with Kol Nidre, and they did away. They started chiseling away with Menhagim until they did away with intermarriage. Did away with everything. They did away with all the Dini Hatur. So Chasam Sofer makes, in one of his tshuvas, he makes a very startling statement. He says, Safik the Rabbanon is Lekula, but a Safik Minig is Lechumer, because a Minig b'tam Neder, and a Neder is a Din Deraisa, so a Safik Neder, you have to be more Machmer in a Neder than to be Machmer in a Din Derabbanon. So all the poskim say that that's not really the Chasam Sofer's position. The 20 tshuvas where he writes beferish not so. That if you make a lana sofik, the rabbanon certainly make a lana sofik minik. The Chasam Sofer knows that a minik is only b'tam neder mid the rabbanon. It's a lower level of a din the rabbanon. It's not more chomer than a din the rabbanon. That tshuva, he's attacking the reform. So he writes with a guzma. He writes sofik minik is l'chomer because minik b'tam neder and it's a din the rabbanon. It's a beferish gemara that it's only by yachal mid the rabbanon. And there are two types of nedarim. There's a neder hayochid, and there's a neder shvuas hatzibur. The Ragachover, the Bachrim in the early 1920s, in the early 1930s, early till he died. So the Bachrim and all the yeshivas, Chassidish yeshivas and the Litvish yeshivas, all used to send them postcards. They used to ask him kashas and shilas and everything. So he used to answer everybody. He used to answer many, many postcards every day. So they always ask him kashas and gemaras and shilas and learning, always in learning. So on some occasions they asked him to get involved in politics. So he made believe he didn't know what they wanted. So they asked him, what does he say about the Shalosh Shvuas? Shalosh Shvuas, the gemara, the end of Ksuvus, that there's a pasuk that appears three times in Shir HaShirim. Ishbati eschem eros Yerushalayim im teiru im teiru so abad shetechbots. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take a shvua that they're not going to establish the Medina against the wishes of the Goyim. So that was the Hungarian Rabbanim were tumbling about that. The Minkatcher was the main antagonist, the main anti-Zionist. He was opposed to HaKamas HaMedina because it's a violation of the Shalosh Shvuas. So someone sent a letter to the Ragachah. What does he say about the Shalosh Shvuas? He once sent one letter, what does he say about the Aguda? He knew what the aguda was. So he wrote a hashtikal Torah with a little of tzarchek and a little of ein tzarchek. They may believe he didn't know what the aguda was. The Gemara has a machlekes whether you tie up the lulav with the hadasim and aravis is the tying me'akev or not me'akev. So we paskin it's not me'akev. It's just a hida mitzvah. Even if you just hold it, you didn't tie it together. So he may believe he didn't know what the aguda was. And then over here they asked him, what does he say about the shalosh words? So he knew what they meant. Does he hold from this that you're not allowed to establish a medina?
Huh?
Yeah. So he says, Shalosh Shvuas, he said, who took the Shvua? I never took the Shvua. My parents never told me. I knew my grandparents, they never took the Shvua. The Shvua was taken centuries ago. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim. So why is the Shvua binding on us? So he says, you see that in addition to the Shvua HaYochid, there's a Shvua HaTzibur. And he develops, that's why there's a Minig HaYochid and there's a Minig HaTzibur. Sometimes a Yochid starts his own Minig. So a Minig is Mitam Neder HaYochid. Then you have a kehila has a minig. So that's binding mitam, minig mitam neder, as if the whole kehila took a neder. The whole kehila took a shvua. Then he explains dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't talk about Zionism. He doesn't want to talk about the Shalosh Shvuas, the issue of the day, whether to be anti-Zionist or not. He just talks about the concept that there's such a thing as a Shvuas HaTzibur. And maybe the Tzibur can be matter, just like a Yochid can be matter minig. So maybe the Tzibur can be matter a minig. But a Yochid, let's say a person has a minig, he doesn't eat gibrocks. And he gets stuck 1 year. One of the rabbanim from Queens was telling me he was learning in Eretz Yisrael when he was a bacher, now he's already a grandfather. He was learning in Eretz Yisrael as a bacher, and then he couldn't come back to America. He couldn't make phone calls. Who had money to fly back and forth to America? So he had to stay by his sister for Pesach. His sister was married already. And even though the family observed gibrocks, the sister married on Misnaged, and the sister ate gibrocks. So he had a shaila, what's he going to do? He has to spend Pesach by the sister. Sister is giving gibrocks. So the pashtus is, it says in Yeridah that a minig is binding me tam neder. It's considered as if it's built into the minig, that in case he gets stuck once in a long while, it's understood that you're not going to observe the minig. That's self understood, it's self evident. Then a minig, let's say a person gets stuck in a certain shas hatchak and he can't observe the minig. He's eating by someone else and they give him something that he has a minig not to eat. Yikra din, it's muti has a minig. So the Dogel Mavrava on the side of the Eridea writes in Simur Reish Yudalit, that's self understood that once in a long while you have no choice, so you can violate the minig. You don't need a hataras nedar. So they didn't tell that to the boy. So as a bacha, they told him he has to get a hataras nedar. The pashto says, you can make a hataras nedar, it's not your minig. But a person waits 6 hours is a minig and wants to be mataneder. So we can all be mataneder, so no one has to wait 6 hours. No, we're not the balabatim over the neder. The neder was taken by the whole kehillah. We come from a kehillah that waits 6 hours. So if you get all the members of the kehillah together and they'll discuss, they'll negotiate about being mataneder, there's what to discuss. The achrenim talk about that. Maybe the whole kehillah can be mataneder. But if one member of the kehillah wants to be mataneder, he's not the balaneder. You have to get the Bala Neder to be Mata the Neder. The Pri Chodesh talks about that. When can the Kehillah be Mata Nidre HaKehillah? So sometimes yes, sometimes no. But you can't talk about a Yochid who's a member of the Kehillah. He's not the Bala Neder. He's not the one who took the Neder.
So
the Sholosh Shavuos were binding. Yeah, the question is whether establishing the Medina is a violation of the Shalosh Shvuas.
But he can't say that I never took a Shvuah, my grandfather never took a Shvuah.
Right. So he says the Shvuah is binding because it's a Shvuah HaTzibur. There's such a thing as a Shvuah HaTzibur Vaharai that there's a Minig HaTzibur. A Minig Mitam Neder shows that there's such a thing as a Neder HaTzibur. And then he quotes Beis Yosef and Rivosh, he quotes Mar Mikaimis to prove that this is so. Right, but you don't even need a hataras and dorm, right? That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Let's say a girl is an Ashkenazi, yeah, and then she marries a Sephardi and they eat kidneys on Pesach. So Rav Moshe, we assume that the husband and the wife can't be members of two different kehillahs. Either he joined her kehillah, she joined his kehillah. They can follow different poskim. Let's say the girl, when she was single, always followed her local rabbi. And whatever shiloh she had. And the boy, before, when he was single, he followed his local rabbi. After they get married, each one can continue following their shitas. And halacha, each one follows his rebbe. In Hilchas Nid, the Hilchas Macholos Hasuris, they have to make up their mind whom they're going to follow. Okay? Because it's negate to both of them. But if a shiloh from Talamata, Yalaviyava, whatever shilohs they have, eating shaloshudas, whatever shiloh, so she can continue following her rabbi, and he can continue following his rabbi. But as far as Minhagim are concerned, you can't do it like that. Because the Minhagat Sipur is binding on the members of the Kehillah. So they have to, the understanding is a husband and wife belong to the same Kehillah. So usually we assume when a girl gets married, she enters the Rishus of the husband. She enters the husband's Kehillah. But sometimes the boy is a Balchuva, the boy is a Ger, he has no traditions at all. And the girl is a prominent family, had traditions for Doire Doiris. What are you going to say? She entered his Rishus? She entered his Rishus, the Rishus Baila, but he gave to other Dinim. You can't say she entered his Rishus as far as Ben Hagim are concerned. Hatachnish came in Hagim, he's a Balchuva, he's a Ger. So you say, he enters her Rishus, he enters her Mishpacha. He follows her family, Ben Hagim. So Ben Hagim, that's what we assume. Once the girl gets married and she follows the husband's minhagim, she belongs to a different kehillah. So she's no longer obligated, she doesn't even need a hataras nedarim. She's no longer a member of that kehillah, so those minhagim are not binding on her anymore. That's what Moshe holds. When a girl gets married, she doesn't need a hataras nedarim.
There's a case like that, but the woman does not have to make a hataras nedarim, just that's what the husband does.
Right, that's what Moshe holds, right. The Gemara has like that, if a person moves Meretz Yisrael to Bavel and had different minhagim, so if he's daito lach, so he plans to go back, he has to continue observing all the chumras of the kehillah where he came from, and he's not allowed to, he has to observe the chumras of the kehillah where he is, because he can't violate Mamtei HaMachlokes. But if he doesn't plan to go back to the old kehillah, he's here to Hishtakeya, so goodbye, so he's no longer a member of the old kehillah. And he does not need a hataras nedarim. Now he's a member of this kehillah, so now he's obligated to observe these minhagim. He's no longer a member of the old kehillah, so those
like
nedarim.
The days of Yom Tov, when God actually brought them back, what's the whole?
That's a question whether Yom Tov Sheni is a minig or a din. Maybe Yom Tov Sheni is a din. So machleik is whether Yom Tov Sheni is a minig or a din. Okay, it's relevant. Part of the story is relevant. Okay, so the Gemara tells you about how to do the kinua. By us, it's easy. You use a toothbrush and floss. So ois shayla. There's a Gemara. You can be mekaneach in anything. The Gemara says, except for kemach, which is already ground up already, or tamarim or yirokas, because it's so soft, it's not going to get anything that's caught in between the teeth. Okay. We'll have to lexic. We'll have to continue. Tomorrow's going to continue.
You use a toothbrush,
can
you?
What?
You brush your teeth.
Yeah, because you're rinsing out the mouth also. Avada. And this week said where the Torah tells us that when Yankel Avinu was about to go down to Mitzrayim, he was very nervous. In Eretz Yisrael, he had Ashuas Hashchina. In the Chutz Lo'atz, he's not going to have Ashuas Hashchina. That was the Iker Chisorin in the Golas. That's how the Ramban says. Ramban writes that Chumash Mos tells that Bereshis is the book of all the beginnings. Beginning of the world, beginning of mankind, beginning of the Jewish people. And the Sefer Shmos is the Sefer that has about the first Golas and the Gula therefrom. So the first Golas was in Mitzrayim. Where was the Gula? They don't come back to Eretz Yisrael until after the Chumash is over. Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Chutzlot. So they only come back, the Gula is only completed in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they cross over the Yarden. So how do I write, the Ramban says, how do I write that the Sefer Shmos has about the first Golas and the Gula? So he says, the Gula was completed when they built the Mishkan. They didn't have to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Because the Iker of the Golas was that the Yankov Avinu, the Ovis Avram Yisrael, he used to have Ashuas Hashchina. He paraphrases a pasuk in Iyov. They used to have Soda Laka, Alei Ohalem. They used to have a Hashuas Hashchina. And then when he went to Golas, he realized not going to have any Hashuas Hashchina. So that's the Iker Chisaron of the Golas. So then when they built the Mishkan, so there was Hashuas Hashchina. So Chumash Mos ends with Truma Tetzav of Ayakal Pikudei has Hashuas Hashchina in the Mishkan. So that's already the Gula therefrom. So when Yankov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim, so he feels very aggravated. He knows there's no Hashuas Hashchina. There's no Nevuah and Chutzlar, there's no Ashuas Hashchina, so he realizes it's going to be a long Golas. So the Rebbeinu Shalom tells him he's going to be with him. How to say? Anochi Yeridinchem Mitzrayim, Anochi Alcha Gam Oloi. So the Gemara says that pasuk tells us the principle of Golas Hashchina. When the Jewish people go into Golas, it is taka no Ashuas Hashchina, but we should realize that in a secret, in a quiet way, in a hidden fashion, the Rebbeinu Shalom is holding our hands. And is there with us. Yeah. The Shechina is begol. The Golas HaShechina, right. So the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim. The Chidor has a commentary on the Anyankif, on the Agadotis and the Gemaris. And the end of Ksubis, he quotes from the Mekubalim that the idea behind this concept of Golus Hashchina is there's a din in Golus. When a person kills B'shoigik, he has to run to one of the six Ari Miklot. So it says, V'nasa l'chasa harim ha'el v'choy. He should run to one of the six Ari Miklot v'choy, and he should live there. So the Gemara understands he should live it up. He should enjoy himself. Just because he goes to Golus doesn't mean he has to suffer. Ari Miklot have to have drugstores, and they have to have theaters, and they have to have museums, and they have to have a shopping mall. There has to be a pleasant city. The Gemara says, it shouldn't be a tiny little village. It's going to go out of his mind. And if he's a person who enjoys learning, so the Rebbe, Talmud Shagol, and Magdalen, the Rabbi Iba, you have to insist, today you have everything online. There's no problem. But in the days of the Gemara, the guy, and he can't, today you have the art scrolls. He can sit and learn on his own in the prison. In the Glat Kosher Daf Yomi prisons. They can all sit and learn. But in the days of the Bayish Rishon, Bayish Sheni, so you insist that the Rebbe has to go give a shiur. The Rebbe has a shiba to the other students. Just because one student is an Ari Miklot, he can't neglect all the others. Means once in a while he has to go cheer up this student because he enjoys hearing a shiur. So the Gemara says the Ari Miklot shouldn't be big metropolis, shouldn't be too big a city, because then we're afraid the Goel Adam is going to sneak in and is going to kill him. Shaloi Kedin. The Goel Adam is not allowed to come. It shouldn't be too big a city. The Gemara says it shouldn't be too little a city. He's going to go out of his mind. Has to be with entertainment and everything. So when the Rabbanu Shalom decided to punish us, to send us into Golus, he didn't mean that we should suffer. He's going to hold our hand. He's going to see to it that we'll be matzliach. In many, many generations, when the Jews lived in Golus, they used to have goyish workers. They had goyish diensten. The Jews made a lot of money. They were prime ministers. They were Abarbanel was the assistant to the king. The Jews were always in a high position in Golus. Once in a long while, there was a pogrom, and then they would kill everybody. A lot of times, the pogrom was our own fault. We were looking for trouble. But that was the concept of Golus Hashchina. The Rebbeinu Shlom is with us to see to it that we shouldn't suffer so much. That's the din of Golus. We should enjoy living in the Golus. We should all run back to Eretz Yisrael. As soon as the Kohen Gadol dies, so the guy has the bear to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So as soon as the Kohen Gadol dies, the Ratzech Bishgog can go back. So the Rebbe is still mechuyev to service the Talmud. Nish mechuyev. The Talmud come back to the regular city. If he doesn't want to come back, we're not mechuyev to entertain him. So that's the Shalat today. We have the Rabbanu Shalom is with us in the Golas, Ima Nechev Itzara, the Golas Hashchina. But after 1948, the Jews can go to Eretz Yisrael. So who says the Rabbanu Shalom is mechuyev to be with us? Until 1948, he has to hold our hand to make sure that we'll be successful, like the Ratzech who sits in the Ari Miklot till Kohen Gadol dies. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, he can go back to his own city. So the Rebbe is not mechuyev to service him there. So we hope the Rebbe Shalom is still with us, but more correct is we should all move to Eretz Yisrael. The way we eat, we never stick our fingers on the challah. So the pashtus is the shulchan. We don't discuss it in the shulchan.